being the week of Thanksgiving, many of us start to think about our blessings and what we're thankful for and start reflecting on things. And we naturally think of our homes. We're thankful for that. The food that we have, our cars, peace, freedom. One lady I talked to this week said, "Courtney, I'm just thankful for my pillow. Really, if I had to be honest, I finally got one that I liked and I have a good night of sleep every night." And then she said, "Don't tell anybody who said that, though, so I won't tell." But she's thankful for her pillow, and that's fine. But we also think about the people that we are thankful for at Thanksgiving and how they've blessed our lives. And so today we're going to kind of focus on two main thoughts. One being, who are you thankful for and how are you expressing that to them? And the other one being, who might be thankful for you? How are you blessing other people right now? The truth is, God gave us the gift of people. Some of you might be looking around going, "Can I return the gift? Does it come with a receipt?" It doesn't. God gave us this gift of people. And at the holidays, a lot of us look forward to getting together with our family. It's a blessed time. We can't wait to do it. It's always fun. And we just look forward to it every year. And then for others of us, the holidays are rough because we're getting together with our family. And there are difficult people involved in that. But either way, God is really clear about how we're supposed to operate here on earth. That we are not islands. That we are meant to be interconnected. And other people are how we grow. Because they're examples for us. They can encourage us. They challenge us. Sometimes other people are how we grow because they're difficult and they force us to be the bigger person. But other people are also how we survive. Because when we need them the most, they come in and they help us and they lift us up. God describes his followers as a body, that one part doesn't work without the other part. Jesus described himself as the vine and us as the branches, all connected, all working together. Jesus told us to love one another. He reminded his disciples that the way the world would know they were disciples was by their love for other people. Jesus told us that we have to forgive each other. We have to. It's what we have to do to survive. And so he cares about our relationships. And this week I was thinking about the first Thanksgiving. You guys probably remember the stories. How many of you, like me, when you were a kid, you went to Walmart or Hy-Vee and you got the brown paper bag and you cut out your outfit and you were either a settler or you were a Native American and you had your Thanksgiving feast at school? Did anybody else do that? Okay, good. I was like, what, is it just me? You guys did that. And so you remember the first Thanksgiving, but I love history. And so I was just kind of looking it up again this week and thinking, what really happened? And so when I was looking, I saw that when the settlers landed here, they landed where the Wampanoag tribe was. Hopefully I'm saying that right. If any of you guys are like experts, I'm sorry if I'm not. But the Wampanoag tribe was there. And this is the land where they had hunted and fished and harvested for generations and generations and generations. And so the settlers come to our shores, and this is where they end up. And they begin immediately starting to gather supplies because they know that the winter is going to be really difficult, their first winter. And the Native Americans come alongside them and begin to help them and offer them all of the knowledge that they have of this land. And so they teach them how to grow corn, which was new to them. They teach them how to use the fish to fertilize their fields. And they start to get together. And after a couple of meetings, the settlers and the natives realize, you have knowledge that we don't have. And we have knowledge that you don't have. So what if we get together and we make like a treaty or a pact that we're always going to help each other and that we'll protect each other from any other tribes or anybody who would mean us harm? And so in 1621, they decide to make this pact together. And things are going well. And then in the fall of that year, the Indians hear gunshots and they start to get really worried that maybe there's been a war or an attack on the settlers. And so they rush over there. But when they get there, there was no war. In fact, they were getting ready to have their harvest celebration because they had made it. They were successful. And so their leader had sent some people out on a hunting trip, and that was the gunshots that they heard. And so the chief of the tribe said, "Why don't you guys go and hunt and we'll all get together and we'll bring our stuff together." And so the first meeting between the two of them, this first meal that we celebrate, really wasn't what we're thinking of. They feasted on deer and shellfish and corn and then some other birds that they had caught. And so it was a little bit of a different Thanksgiving dinner than we might be thinking of. And then later it became the religious kind of focus of Thanksgiving that we would talk about. But that's what that first meeting was. And we know that the peace didn't last for long. Eventually, the settlers turned on them. And so for the Wampanoag, it became a painful reminder. But for that day, they were able to sit down at the table and look across at somebody who had completely different viewpoints, who had been raised in a completely different way, who had a different way of looking at everything. And they were able to find the best in those people and find the good in them. And for one generation, they had peace. And there are a lot of us this week who might be looking across the table at somebody who has very different thoughts or very different ways of doing things. But if we are able to look at the best in them and what they have to offer, we might be able to bring peace to our generation. Jesus speaks a lot about relationships, and today we want to consider ours. Who am I thankful for? Who am I connected to and drawing life from? And who am I blessing? Who might be thankful for me this Thanksgiving? The Bible is full of stories about people who are there for each other. And one story that I really enjoy is the one about David and Jonathan. They're like the first recorded BFFs. These guys were always here for each other, great friends. And I don't have time to go into the whole story, but David is at a really low point in his life. We talked last week about the dip. David was there. He had been betrayed. He had lost his family. He had lost his standing in the community, and he was on the run. And so he's at a low point. And in 1 Samuel 23, verse 16, it says, Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Don't you just love that verse? He went to his best friend, and what did he do for him? He helped him find strength in God. You see, there was a big issue that they were all dealing with, and it involved the throne. Saul was on the throne. He wanted his son, Jonathan, to be on the throne. God said that David was going to be the king, but for David to be the king, something had to happen to Saul and Jonathan. It was uncomfortable. A big situation with a lot of different viewpoints. But for these guys, the friendship was more important than the throne. And I love the verse that he helped him find strength in God. We all want to leave a legacy. We all want to focus on, you know, what we're leaving behind and how others might think of us. And there are a lot of things that I would hope people would say. But one of the biggest compliments would be, she helped me find strength in God when I needed it. And hopefully that's something that people will be saying about you as well.
As we talk today about who we are thankful for, it's more than just thinking about it in our minds. It's taking it to the next step and actually showing the gratitude to other people to express the outward expression of what we're feeling inside. That's really what we are to do. And I want to give you a great example of that in the book of Luke. So if you'll turn to Luke chapter 17. And we're going to read some scripture about someone who knew how to express his gratitude. Begin reading in verse 11 out of Luke chapter 17. It says, Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance. They called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, Go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself to Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Now, it's interesting that they put that last sentence in there. He was a Samaritan. Why is that important? Why does that even matter? But Samaritans were a despised race, and they were not accepted, not only because of who they were, but now this man has leprosy, so he's even more shunned from society. He was hated and he was a foreigner. But Jesus in verse 17 asked, Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. This Samaritan wanted to not only say thank you for what he had done, but he wanted to praise Jesus in that moment. He wanted to show his gratitude, not just send someone with a note to say, hey, thanks Jesus for cleansing me. He didn't want to just, send a messenger. No, he wanted to tell him himself. And if you look at this, these two sentences, we can learn a lot from two simple things. There's actually four simple things he did in these two short sentences. The first thing he did, it says he went back to Jesus. He met him face to face to say thank you, to express his gratitude. He didn't just, like I said, send someone else. He wanted to see him face to face. So he went back. The second thing it says he did was he let him know with a loud voice. He praised God with a loud voice. If you look in the scripture again, the one we just read, it actually said they asked in a loud voice. Now, they had to do that partly because, if you notice, it said from a distance, they asked in a loud voice. They had to be in a distance because they had leprosy. They could not get close to others. They had to keep their distance. They were not welcome to get close to someone. But many times we're really good at asking God for what we need in a loud voice. We want to let him know, God, I need what I need. But once we receive that, there's silence. We're not willing to go back and thank God and show the gratitude for what he did. This man was willing to do that. Not only did he do that, he knelt at Jesus' feet, and then it says he thanked him. Four things that he did in that moment. Now imagine, first of all, is this appropriate? If you were standing there today with Jesus and some man rolls up and he comes to Jesus, he's yelling with a loud voice, he kneels at his feet and he says, thank you, thank you, thank you. Is that appropriate to do? Actually, I think it is. If you think about what the man had received, because his life was ruined because of this disease. But think about it like this. What if it was 20 years later? And Jesus is walking along the road, and a man shows up who had been healed 20 years before. Would it be appropriate to respond in the same way? I think it would. Because let's put ourselves in that position. Let's say 20 years ago, Jesus had healed you of a life-altering disease. And after being healed, not only are you healed, you're actually back in society. You're back able to connect with other people. You get married. You have kids. You live the next 20 years of your life. All of that happened because of the healing that came 20 years ago. So you didn't just get healing from Jesus. You've had the last 20 years of your life because of the healing that you received. And it's very easy for us to think of showing our gratitude to God and to Jesus for what they've done. But let's think of this in another way today. When's the last time you picked up the phone or maybe called someone to go have lunch and you said, thanks, Dad, for providing for me as I was growing up. Thank you for teaching me the things that I wouldn't have learned if you hadn't taken the time. Thanks, Mom, for cooking the meals, for cleaning my room, for helping me with homework. Thanks for all that you did to make me who I am today. And that's exactly what Courtney and I are talking about. Think about those in your lives whom you should be grateful for. But don't just think about it here. Find a way to express that. Find a way to show them that you're grateful for what they have done. I like this saying. You've probably heard it many times. I have. That gratitude is an attitude. It sounds good. It rhymes. Attitude is actually in the word gratitude, so it makes it really nice. And I like it, but I don't totally agree because attitude is a be thing. But gratitude is not just be grateful. We should show that we are grateful. So it's a do thing. It's something we should express to one another of how grateful we are for who we have in our lives. Gratitude, if you're writing something down, write this down. Gratitude is loving the giver over the gift. I'll say it again. Gratitude is loving the giver over the gift. This man was cleansed of leprosy. And he could have just said, hey, thanks for the cleansing. But he was loving Jesus as much as he loved what he received. And he knelt at his feet and he thanked him. Today, may we remember to do that. Thankfulness is important because it brings us closer to God. You know, as you begin to think through your life about those who have taken you along the way, who have made you who you are today, if you begin to thank God for them, you know that always trickles back to thanking God for who He is. Because He placed each one of those people in your life as you begin to think about them. In the same way, if we think about the things that we have in our life and all that God has given us, before long it trickles back to thanking God for what we have. So as you begin to be thankful for those around you, you will find yourself being grateful for God. If you think about all that happens in this church, I hope that I take enough time to say thank you to those. Did you know when I walked in today, there's a man that you don't see here because he's in this room that's right back here behind the sound booth. His name is Barry Smith. And he, when he is here, man, when I walk in the door at 7:40, every Sunday morning, the lights are on, the projectors are on, everything's turned, the sound system, he has it ready for me to just plug my computer in and go. You know how blessing that is to have someone willing to do that? And I hope, Barry, that I say thank you enough as you're sitting there looking through the live stream screen. Thank you for what you do. People outside this church get to watch this service because of people like Barry. His wife is up in the lights today. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you to all of you who serve. People are watching your kids today over there so you can be in here enjoying this service. May we be grateful for those who help us become who we are. And may we express that in a certain way.
And so today we want to think about how are we blessing others, not just who we're thankful for. I'm sure that people are thankful for you. I mean, we do our best to give and serve to our family and our friends as well as we can. But every now and then, we get stuck in a rut, and we might be missing people around us that we could reach out to. I love Linda's story, and I asked her to share it specifically because one greeter, one person who said, "Wow, she looks a little bit lonely at church," made a huge difference in her life. Just little gestures that make a world of difference to somebody else. And the Bible lists a lot of different gifts that God has given us to work together as a body. And I want to look in 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 14. We'll skip around a little bit because it's kind of long, but let's start at 14. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And I want to skip down to verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles. Also, though, those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. There's a few gifts that are listed there, and there are even more gifts listed in other parts of the Bible. But then there are gifts that aren't even listed in the Bible that some of us have. Some of you are great cooks, and you're able to bless other people with your ministry and your meals. We had some women who met together this last month and made meals for people who would need them. It's already been a huge blessing to some people. Some of you guys have the gift of hospitality, and you can just welcome people into your lives and your family seamlessly. When I was thinking of this, I actually thought of Kate Archer whenever I thought of that, and she's here today. And I just thought of Kate because she just has this way, this gift of saying, "Oh, you're lonely or you need something? Just join my family." And they don't have to just change what they're doing. Somehow someone just becomes part of the family and they feel welcome. That's a gift. Some of you guys have the gift of being great listeners. And the way that you listen to somebody makes them feel valued and special. Some of you guys are teachers. But maybe you just haven't stepped out and used your gift yet. Some of you are mentors, and somebody is waiting on you to step up and minister to them. When was the last time that we sought to bless somebody else? Because we need each other in this life. And Exodus 17 tells this interesting little story of the Israelites are fighting the Amalekites. And Moses goes up on the hill to pray and intercede for them. And every time he lifts his arms in prayer to God, they're winning. But when his arms get tired and they begin to fall, they start to lose. Well, the battle was long. And so his arms are getting tired and they're noticing what's happening. And they're thinking, we got to solve the problem. And Exodus 17, 12 and 13 says, Aaron and Hur, that's two men, held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other side, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. You see, Joshua didn't win that battle alone. And Moses didn't win that battle alone. But there were two men who said, we're going to come alongside you. We're going to lift you up. We're going to be part of this with you. And we're going to help you win this battle. And there are a lot of us in this room who are fighting big battles today. And we cannot and we should not try to fight those alone, because the body of Christ is here to come alongside you and say, we want to help you find strength in God. And if you're not going through a battle today and you're thinking everything's great, then this is your time to go and lift somebody else's arms up and say, let me help you. Let me come alongside you this morning and be a blessing to you. 2 Timothy 1:6 reminds us, in the New King James Version, it says, to stir up the gift that is inside of you. In the NIV, it says, fan into flame the gift that is inside of you. Because we might have gifts, but they have to be developed. And the very next verse goes on to say that a spirit of being timid or fear isn't from God. Because many times we don't want to use our gifts to bless others because we're afraid that we're not very good at it. But a gift or a talent has to be developed. And that's why he's telling him, stir it up. Stir it up inside of you. Everybody say, stir it up.
Stir it up.
Stir up what's inside of you. I remember when Chad and I first got married, and I was still in college, and so we hadn't gone into, you know, doing full-time ministry yet. I asked him if I could tell this, by the way. We hadn't gone into ministry yet. But I had had an opportunity to see him do a lot of different types of ministry. And so I'd seen him run camps and have great relationships with kids, and that he was organized and able to do that. I'd seen him lead devotions. I'd seen him be a youth sponsor. He was good at all of it. But it didn't really occur to me until we started to try out for our first church that I'd never actually gotten to hear him preach. And so we went on our very first interview. And I was still in college, but I was going to graduate soon. And we spent the day with the pastor and his wife, and then he was going to preach youth service that evening. And by the time we got to the youth service, there was really no reason to be nervous, because we had already known, like, this isn't going to be a fit. We don't want to end up here. And so we're just preaching the youth service at that point. But for some reason, he got so nervous, like, really nervous. And so he gets up there, and it just kind of snowballs. And I'm thinking, like, this is not good. Like, it's really bad. And the more nervous he got, the more it just, his words were, like, not even intelligible. He's just up there fumbling around. I'm thinking, that wasn't even a complete sentence. And by the end of the sermon, I'm like, who did I marry? I'm going to have to support this man. He is not going to find work. And I was really genuinely scared. And as it turns out, we did get offered the job. We still don't know why. We didn't take it. But it wasn't good. But he had to develop the gift that God put inside of him. And even though it wasn't good, it didn't stop him from getting up the next time and the next time until what was inside of him was developed. And it was the same with the guitar. When we got to Texas, we're starting a youth group, and he's like, we need worship. I think I'm going to learn how to play the guitar. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to learn how to play the guitar. Because I took piano for 6 years, and I still can't play at all. Thank you for the investment, Mom and Dad. But he decides that he's going to learn to play the guitar. And so he practiced, and he practiced. And you guys can thank me, because my ears are the ears that bled while I heard open the eyes of my heart, Lord, over and over. And to this day, I still can't stand that song. But he learned how to play the guitar, and he did it, and he developed the gifts inside of him. And we all have gifts that are inside of us. And the Bible says, fan it. Fan the flame. Don't let the flame go out. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it. And so stir it up. Stir up the gift that's inside of you, because God wants to use you. There is a job for you to bless other people. Whatever's inside of you, look for it, because God has a plan for your life. And if you haven't done anything for a while that would make you feel like you're stretching or growing, and you've been really comfortable for a while, then this might be a great week to say, God, as we approach the holiday season, what is inside of me? What gifts do I have that I could bless others with? And stir it up. Everybody say, stir it up.
Stir it up. When we think about who we are thankful for, and when we begin to think about serving others and giving to others, we can look through the Bible and see all kinds of examples of people who gave. But I think the greatest example for us to look at is our Creator. God allows us to exist because He gave. We receive salvation because He gave. He's the prime example when we think of giving. And many times when we think about giving, we don't totally think about serving, but those two go together. Giving is serving. When we hear the word serving, many times we think of it in a negative way. Well, I don't do anything else, so I just serve. Really, serving is an honor. Serving is being a blessing to someone else. And no matter the career path that God has given you gifts so that you can use them in that career path, whatever it may be, if you will learn to use that to serve God and to honor God, it doesn't matter if you're a business owner or a janitor, it doesn't matter, a teacher, whatever you do, if you will have the idea that I'm using this to serve God, it will make the difference in your life. For example, as Courtney and I stand here today, we can look at this as we have been given the authority to speak today. So we can stand up here and we can talk till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And either you'll get sick of it and leave, or you'll hang out until we're finally done, and then you'll go home. We can talk about anything from dishwash detergent to golf. It doesn't matter, because we have the authority to stand here and speak today. But we don't look at it like that. We look at this as our opportunity to serve God, which means it's our opportunity to serve you. All through the week, when I spend time in my office praying and asking God, what do you want to say this week? What do you want to say to me, to the people? What do you want to do? That's me not only serving God, but serving you. And I don't take that lightly. I think it's an honor that I get to do this. But may we all see our profession as an honor that we get to serve God in that way, that He's given us the gifts that He has to use them for His glory. Amen? Amen. Our mindset, if we will just change that, to think of when we go to work, we're not just there to earn a paycheck. We're not just there to keep the doors open, but we're there to serve God. Others will begin to be thankful for us. So as we think about who we're thankful for and who should be thankful for us, I want to look at Colossians chapter 3. You can turn there. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. It says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord, not from men, you will receive the reward of the inheritance." So you serve the Lord, your Christ. That's what it's saying. Do you realize how much that can affect your life when you have that mentality of I'm serving the Lord? No matter what I'm doing, I'm going to serve Him. And as we go into this holiday season, as in Thanksgiving this week, may you have that in your mind of who can I serve? Who in my family needs me? Some of us, we love getting together with our family because we love our family. Others of us tolerate our family. And we think, oh boy, I get to put up with them this week as we hang out on Thanksgiving. Today, I encourage you to begin to look forward to those gatherings, when you get together with not just your immediate family, with the extended family, and think of how God can use you to change the atmosphere in that place. For some of you, you may have the most spiritual family in the whole town. And when you get together, man, you're praying together. You're happy to see each other, and that's great. For others of you, it may be like an old school WWF cage match with Hulk Hogan and Rowdy Roddy Piper and the Von Erich brothers, and there's chairs flying and people are screaming, people jumping off the couches, drop kicking. You know, there's families that do that, I know. But maybe you're somewhere in between. But it doesn't matter. You can make the difference in your family this week. Look at your neighbor and say, raise the bar. Come on, say it. Say, raise the bar. As you serve your family, as you have the mindset of serving God, and as you create this atmosphere where people are thankful for you, if you have the gift of hospitality, serve God with it. If you have the gift of encouragement, serve God with it and use it. If you have the gift of watching football and eating lots of turkey, serve God as you do that. But I want you to raise the bar. If your spiritual level in your family is a 1, raise the bar. If your spiritual level in your family is a 9, raise the bar. And all of that can happen by you not only serving them, but by you serving God. Raise the bar. As we're closing this thing out, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. We read this during the offering earlier. Many times, like I said, we hear this when it comes to taking the offering, but we don't think of it in other ways. But this is the principle of sowing and reaping. What you plant in the ground is going to grow. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. Remember I said giving is serving? So let me put the word serve in there and let's read it again. Serve and you will be served. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, it will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you serve, you will be served back. Let's try it again. Encourage and you will be encouraged. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, it will be put into your bosom. For the same measure that you encourage, you will be encouraged back. Church, it doesn't matter what word you put there. It doesn't matter what you plant. Understand that's going to grow. So if you're planting dissension, you're going to get dissension. If you're planting evil thoughts in other people's minds, you're going to get evil thoughts back. But if you begin to plant love, if you begin to encourage your family, those who don't know Christ are going to begin to see something different in you, and they're going to say, I want that. And it's going to begin to grow in your family. How many of you want to see that in your family? It's a principle and it works. It's the truth. It's God's word. If you plant it, it will grow. So in closing today, as we begin to think of who we are thankful for, remember to show them. Don't just be grateful. Express your gratitude to those who have loved you when you probably weren't too lovable. For those who cared for you and got you to the point you are today, take time to say thank you. But understand, it doesn't stop there. The question is, what can I do for someone else? What can I do to encourage someone else? What seed can I plant in someone else and watch it grow? This is our opportunity this week as we go into this Thanksgiving season. First of all, thanking God for all that He has done, just as that leper did. Church, we wouldn't be who we are today if it wasn't for what He did. Ever how many years ago for you? You wouldn't have the rest of your life if it wasn't for what He did in the beginning. May you stand to your feet right now. God, may there be a spirit of sowing and reaping in this place right now. And may you use us as we leave this place today encouraged, God, to spread your love. God, to encourage others. To use the gifts that you have placed inside of us that maybe have been sitting there, that haven't even been touched yet. May we begin to look for those gifts and find them and say, God, I want to use this for you. Not just in my family, but in my workplace, God, in my church, in my own life, may I begin to plant the seed and watch it grow. In Jesus' name we pray. You keep your heads bowed for a moment. If you're here today and you say, you know what, Chad, I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my life. I've never understood the idea of planting and watching something grow inside of me. But I want to invite Jesus in my heart today. If that's you, I give you this opportunity right now to just lift your hand. And I want to say a prayer for you. Anyone in this place. Awesome. God, may we begin to see a difference in people this week because of those in this room who are choosing to want to serve you, who are choosing to want to use the gifts you've given us to bless others. And we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's just praise the Lord one more time. God, thank you so much for these that were baptized today. God, thank you for what you placed in our hearts, the challenge today to walk out of here encouraging one another, loving one another, and God, taking the love and encouragement to a new level and raising the bar in our families this week and in our own workplaces. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.